Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
Rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
Take
it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Mount, here's some ground and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, along with Sean Desay of Triumph MMA. Joby Wan Kenobi is holding it down in the social front, taking care of all the stats and anything that we need digitally and or to answer questions we don't actually have the answers to as we enter into episode 217, the 217th episode of Way of the Warrior, covering UFC 170. Before we started, Sean is looking at us befuddled because he can't quite understand how two gentlemen who grew up in the Midwest actually prefer the snow to sunny SoCal, because you were just explaining to us that at some point we may part ways at some point, and you may go to another part of the universe, and that part of the universe might be closer to the sun.
It's, yeah, San Diego is a very beautiful, it's like paradise.
I love San Diego. Like, I don't
it's
want
unbelievable.
You, I don't want you to think I don't like that stuff. My
the
aunt
fact
is,
that you would prefer this over I'm San just, Diego
well,
blows my mind.
So it's not, you're missing it, and we'll get into MMA.
I'm not missing it.
We'll
anything.
Get into yeah. MMA, I promise. Here's the thing. It's the heat I don't like. My aunt used to live in San Diego. I love the city. The place is amazing.
Is it the humidity or the dry heat? Which of the two or both?
You
just don't like being hot.
If I'm going to pick, it's going to be humidity. You know, like the
You'd rather
like,
have humidity?
No. Oh. No, that humid like Florida, I would
right.
That
Texas.
Just,
yeah.
No. Okay. No. So I would go visit you. I just wouldn't move there.
Sean's giving Eric crazy eyes right now.
Well, it's because I just don't understand like I know you guys like love this stuff, this snow, ice, and 3-degree
right.
and blizzards
yep.
and all that stuff.
Well, if you put it that way.
You guys like it, okay?
Yeah, sure.
And I know the people in the UP make fun of the people down here because they're like, oh, you're not real, you know, Michiganders or whatever you guys call it.
Trolls, yeah.
So, but yeah, there you go. So bottom line is this. Every time you guys go somewhere else where it is nice and warm, on your guys' Facebook page, it's like you guys having a blast, you're having a party. Like, why would you not want to have that all the time? You know what I mean? Like, why
because
would you want to come
here's,
back
here's
as
why.
What you were saying, north of the wall?
Here's why. Yes, yeah, so for the Game of Thrones fans, we would be north of the wall. But here's why. Because if you stay in a place like this where usually it's 4 months this year, it looks like it's going to be 6, maybe 7 months of the year.
They don't have four seasons here, man.
So
two.
Right. So if you
construction and winter.
Yeah, you got it.
Those are the only two seasons of here, man. That's it.
See, this is why Sean's on the show, because every once in a while he hits a home run comedically, and there it was right there. But if you suffer, like right now, if you were to take me to San Diego, it would literally be Disneyland.
You would not want to come back.
No.
I promise you
yeah,
would not want to come
I
back.
I know. But as it is right now, you know, we're stuck here.
Look, I made some great friends here, no doubt. Friends that, you know, for life, all that good stuff. But guys, man, I mean, look at that screen right there. What does that say? It's 7.
Right, I know.
But it's a single digit,
but
man.
But see, I'm excited because I'm a huge comic book fan. So you being in San Diego means I have a place to stay at Comic-Con, which
yeah.
I think is awesome. And so I'm excited for all that stuff. Are you really giving me the look like Comic-Con?
That's
really?
That's pretty nerdy. I'm not going to lie.
You're pretty nerdy from the guy who can tell you what ingredient is in every
yeah.
craft beer in America. Okay, fair enough. Let's get to the MMA.
There we go.
UFC 170 was this past weekend, and it was not without its fair share of controversy as we stare down the barrel of the female MMA gun that is Cyborg. And Sean, I wanted to get your thoughts on this. This is it, right? Because I'm watching Alexis Davis and Jessica I fight, and I think it was either Luke Thomas on Twitter or Tommy Tolhold who said that Ronda Rousey could fight both of them at the
same time
and
yeah.
win. And I don't disagree with that, and no disrespect, but she's just on a different level.
Sure. Yeah.
Just on a different level.
And if you notice, anytime Ronda does fight, whenever she does get cracked in the face by these less skilled fighters, she tends to panic a little bit. And we all can't help but to think, man, if that was Cyborg punching in the face, it'd be a complete different fight. So, yeah, I'm totally for that fight. I think it's a...
Do you feel, though, it's a question that needs to be answered?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Why not, man?
Well, I don't mean it dismissively, like, why not? I mean it... pragmatically.
I think a lot of people want to see Ronda lose more than a lot of people that want to see her win.
Well, there's that, and it's
and a
also...
a lot of people will put in, you know, they'll bet on Cyborg.
Right, but there's that, and there's also what we saw on Saturday night, Joe, which is Sarah McMahon was negating all of the clinch. You know, Ronda really wasn't able to do her game plan.
Right.
Which... in the post-fight interview, she knew that she wasn't going to be able to, which is why the knees to the liver were and kidney were part of the game plan. But you see somebody who takes her strength, negates it, and still gets shellacked. You have clearly a well-rounded MMA superstar who now needs a challenger, because Alexis Davis and Jessica Eye just are not it. And even Kat Zingano, when she's healthy, is not it.
No, Kat couldn't pull it off.
Yeah,
either.
The UFC just built up Pat Cummins, a no-name. So I think they can build up Alexis Davis and Kat Zingano
as long as they don't show that last fight, sure.
Right.
You know.
Well, I mean, they could build up Cyborg just as well.
They could, but now they've already got this big champion in Ronda, and if they build up these other fights that they know she's going to win anyways, that's the superstar. She's filling that role for them. That's going to sell tickets. So you know, we didn't get mad at Anderson Silva when he was smoking everybody. Now everybody's mad at Ronda
but he was,
for being
but
so
he,
damn
but here's,
dominant.
But here's the difference, Joe. I think we don't get mad at Anderson Silva because he was smoking serial killers.
Yeah, he was fighting, like, when he knocked
you know,
out
the
Vitor.
Average,
yeah,
the, average
you
know? Fan, the average fan has no idea who these women are, and that's no disrespect to them. This is, to me, to look back over the last 24 months, is amazing for female mixed martial arts.
Sure,
and what Ronda
absolutely.
Has done, not only for female mixed martial arts, but what Ronda has done this year for the UFC is awesome. And I wish her the best, and I want to see her fight more, but I want to see round two. I want to see round three. I want you to find me Chael Sonnen. That's what I want you to do, because I want her to be tested, because it makes that mythology so much bigger than if she blows through. I mean, right now, as I put on the blog at the Way of the Warrior Facebook page, she's beaten 60% of the ranked people in that division. So she's already beat 60%. And the other 40% really aren't even going to get there, because they've got to go through all these gatekeepers to even get there. So
she not only beat him, she finished him.
All of them.
Yeah. And she said in the post-fight interview that she promised her coach she was going to drop Sarah McMahon with a body shot. She went out there and dropped her with a body shot.
I mean, that's cool. You know,
and that stuff is awesome.
That's awesome.
It's great when you can have, if you're a baseball fan, that's the Babe Ruth. Points to that side of the field, hits the home run.
I think Anderson, when he was getting, you know, his butt whipped by Chael, he's like, I'm going to win by triangle.
I'm
going to
finish by triangle.
Like water.
And you can watch like water. I'm going to finish with a triangle.
Like, how do you, like, how did, that prediction is kind of weird, actually.
Well, but
that was a tough fight.
I think when you get in those situations, and having not been able to compete at that high level, I think those guys just see the world differently. When you watch Anderson fight Rich Franklin, it's clear that he's in the Matrix. The world has slowed down for him. When he fights Forrest Griffin, the world has slowed down for him. He's not operating on the same plane you are. And so when that happens, and you know what Chael's going to do, and you also know in that particular fight, in that particular instance, that his kryptonite is a triangle. Forrest Griffin beat him with a triangle.
Yeah.
You know that that's your best chance at getting out of this with your belt.
See, I think Ronda's starting to slowly scratch that surface. She's starting to get a little bit more comfortable in the cage right now. And Cyborg's been way, way comfortable for a long time. So I think that's going to make the big – I mean, it hands down, that's the only fight left for Ronda, because, like you said, everybody else out there doesn't really match up well with her. It just doesn't – I don't see it. Whether terms and negotiation and contracts, all that nonsense, you know, they can figure out something. But sounds like Cyborg really wants to fight bad, real bad. She said, well, I want to retire her like I did Gina Carano or something like that.
Yeah,
heavy words.
Yeah, well, and if you can rewind the clock, guys, you guys know what was going through your mind when you watched that fight between Gina Carano and Cyborg. That was a big moment. You know,
you were fired
up. You wanted to see what happened because Gina was the darling of mixed martial arts in general.
Poor girl got her butt whooped.
She did, but there were questions leading up to it. We thought, oh, well, her jiu-jitsu, and we'll see what happens.
But a lot of people didn't want to see Gina lose as much as they want to see Ronda lose.
Yes, but in it's the opposite scenario. In this case,
when Gina lost, we were all like, ah. Oh,
right, because in that case, we wanted her to beat the monster.
Yeah.
You know, Cyborg's big and ripped, and we want the pretty girl to beat the monster.
Right.
And in this particular case, you're
going to
have
the trailer trash girl trying to beat the monster.
Okay, yeah, whatever. Oh. It's okay.
So
I'm trying to put it in layman's terms for all of our audiences. You know what I mean? Like, guys, listen.
Well, without Ken here, there needs to be somebody else who's going to be terrible.
Hey.
So Dana put out a couple conditions for Cyborg. She has to first
drop Tito Ortiz.
Yeah.
I'm just joking.
Well, she already dropped Tito. Tito resigned because he thought he was impeding Cyborg signing with the UFC. So that was, you know, a classy thing for him to do. So Cyborg doesn't fight at 135, and she said on the record before that she her doctor told her she would die if she cut down to 135.
Yes.
So Dana said she needs to cut down to 135, fight a couple times, prove that she can make 135.
A couple of times.
And test clean, and then they'll consider her.
What?
So there's some conditions leading up
to
that.
Oh, you mean she's got to do all that before she even gets into the UFC?
Before she signs with the UFC. And her plan...
I mean, look at how horrible that would be, Joe. If
you know that, you know what that sounds like to me, though? That sounds like, hey, we don't want you to crush our superstar, so you have to go through all these hurdles first. But at the same time, you know, like, hey, we did offer this to you a long time ago, and you didn't take it, and now you can.
And I think...
I get it.
Look, you've got Dana, who has been burned by this. You know, we talk about John Lanker all the time.
Yeah.
He kills people at the division but can't make weight at 125. And so if you're going to invest in what is going to be the biggest fight in female mixed martial arts, you want to make sure it works. And so I don't think – could it be protection of Ronda? Sure, maybe. But I don't think it's totally out of the realm of possibility to go, look, you got to do this twice, fight two people, and be clean both times, and then – yeah, we could probably give you $1 million to make this fight because we're going to become millionaires after this happens. But I want to make sure that when you show up on stage, Joe, and look across to Joe Rogan and you stand on that crazy box, Sean, that you're going to hit 135 on the nose. Because if you don't, you're going to ruin the whole thing.
Yeah.
And that's expensive.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it is.
They put a lot of money into that and, you know, for her to not miss it. So maybe those conditions are fair, right?
Well,
I think
those conditions would be
for PEDS before.
Yeah,
I think those conditions would be fair going into the UFC. Like, all right, hey, instead of a couple, like here's the contract, UFC contract. Here's your first opponent, Kat Zingano. Smash her, boom, you got Ronda. I think that's a little bit more fair. Because to do all this other nonsense and all those other hurdles, that's too much.
Yeah, and
gets to Ronda, it'll be like 2015, like November or something.
And look, I like, you know me and Ken not being here, you know the two of us really love that professional wrestling mindset to build up the monster and have her come in and destroy the number one contender. Mm-hmm. I like that idea, and I think that's fair as well. But I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. You got to test clean, and you got to hit the number before you see Ronda. We're not going to do that.
Yeah, that's totally
sight unseen.
It's totally fair.
The other story, obviously, is Daniel Cormier. We lucky enough to have Patrick Cummins on last week to talk about the fight. And as Joe alluded to minutes ago, that the UFC was able to make something literally out of nothing.
They did a good job.
They did a great job, but it turned out that was way too big of a test for Patrick. And
leaps and bounds.
And Cormier just tore through him and destroyed him. Now, I have a question for you because I was sitting with my friend Julian. We were watching the fights, and he looked at me, and he's a big Cormier fan. And he looked at me, and he said, the way that Cormier looks at 205 and what he did to that other giant dude that nobody had ever heard of prior to a week ago leads me to believe that he would have done the same thing to Rashad. Do you believe that?
I think the motivation he had going into this fight was completely different. I don't think he had that same motivation fighting Rashad. So whatever it takes, I mean.
Do you agree, though, he's a very scary contender
at
205?
Oh,
at 205, he's a scary dude.
Oh, yeah.
He hits like a heavyweight.
Dude, what do you mean like a heavyweight? He does hit as a heavyweight. He's very scary.
Because
I mean, the only guy to ever pick up Josh Barnett and throw him down like a little third grade schoolgirl, you know what I mean? He's just like, bam, you know, it's like. How did he pull that off? You know, obviously with his wrestling, but the way he did it, you saw Barnett. He was in the air, man. He was literally doing like a somersault or a cartwheel, aerial, whatever it was. It was wicked throw. So, he's a big, big threat. I mean, you know, if John Jones is like kind of not taking it seriously, he should probably, you know. I would say, you know, get him another fight or two, you know, see what happens.
I think he certainly needs a fight because,
I mean, I think they're going to reschedule the Rashad fight, though, right?
I hope so. Is that what I hadn't seen
I'd,
that yet.
I heard that, too. But
oh, wait, he's out forever. That's right.
Yeah, for like 6
now
months.
Now they're talking about does he get a title shot or not. Because
after
he was,
Patrick Cummins.
Yeah, well, no. At heavyweight, he was like ranked number 3 or 4 in the rankings. So do you drop that far back when you drop down weight and you smoke a guy in the first round?
Well, who's the top 3 right now in the light heavy?
Well, it would be...
John Jones is the champ, and then you got Alexander Gustafsson,
Glover
Teixeira, and Rashad Evans.
Well, and
Rashad's out with a knee.
Rashad's out.
And,
so,
and Alexander's fighting some dude.
And obviously so is Glover. So the only guy open if he comes out healthy is Jones.
You got Phil Davis in there, too, but I think he might be booked.
Phil Davis is fighting Anthony Johnson.
Yes.
Yep.
So, I guess he would, yeah, just sit on the sidelines and kind of see what happens. And
you're like, that's a terrible idea. Well, there's nobody to fight. All right, cool. You can have a title.
I mean,
shot.
What? You can't throw, I mean, Shogun and Henderson are rematching. You know, give me another top. Who's 4 and 5 then?
Well, Phil Davis.
Or 6 and 7.
And then you got Little Nog. And now
Little Nog won't fight. He's done.
DC's
he's
ranked 6.
Okay.
Marcio Shogun Hua's 7.
See, they're all tied up, man.
Yeah, Dan Henderson.
And
is
you've got
retired.
A you've got a guy in Cormier. You got a guy in Cormier who's 1,000% healthy.
If Little Nog decides to come out because he's the last guy to beat Rashad, you know that might help his stock a little bit. You know, DC stock. So, yeah, if Little Nog will take it, but from what I heard, maybe you can correct me. But every time Dana White calls up Little Nog, he tells everyone, oh, he's not hurt, I'm ready to fight. And then when Joe Silva and White call him up, he's like, oh, I'm hurt. You know, they're like, dude, make up your mind. So, but that wouldn't be a bad fight for DC if Little Nog came and they fought down in Brazil, you know, go underneath that Brazilian umbrella and see how you would do under that pressure. Little Nog's no joke. That would be a good fight, and that might get him a little bit closer. That way he's not sitting on the sidelines for like 9 months and waiting to see who's coming out of what.
Being that healthy, you need to do something with him. And I don't know. I don't know that he would want to go back up to heavyweight.
No,
that
he should
soon.
Keep his weight
he's
down.
He's got to stay down
there. Yeah, for sure. And the big question was how well will he do with this weight cut? And he did fantastic.
He looked great.
When
his weigh-ins looked
good.
He
showed up at 216, and we talked about this last week, and the cut was smooth. They followed him behind the scenes, and he felt great at 205. So I think he's going to be comfortable and stay there too.
You could.
All right, and we'll take a break and we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about this. We got more fights on the card to cover really quickly. And then, of course, Sean's favorite part of the show this week in GSP. We finally got some answers. We'll do that because George clearly doesn't know the definition of retirement. So we'll talk about it next. It's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
Way of the Warrior. Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric O'Brien, along with Sean Desay from Triumph MMA, Joby Wan Kenobi, holding down everything in the stats and social media realm. And during the break, Sean was busy explaining to Joe about how he could beat me up at a moment's notice, which I don't even know where that came from because I was just hanging out. I was minding my own business. And you're like, well, he may have better technique than I do, but I will smash him anywhere on the mat.
He sounded a little aggressive.
Well,
Sean
took off his headphones, so obviously he was listening closely to the conversation, so I had to make it interesting. You know,
well, you pointed at me and said, well, you know, his technique's probably all right, but...
Dude, just because I threw a little salt on the moon.
All right, so covering real quickly the rest of UFC 170, Rory McDonald, Damian Maia.
What happened there, man?
I don't know what happened there. I mean, the funniest.
How did he gas out?
The funniest.
He didn't like wrestle so much in that first round.
he was too dominating.
He was in full mount too long. Like, what happened? How do you gas out, Maia? I had money on you, dude.
Oh, did you really? That's where it's come from.
I wish I did. Yeah. No, I wish I. Well, I'm glad I didn't.
I think
the
funniest tweet of the night was that Rory McDonald once bought a Happy Meal and he couldn't finish that either. So I think a kid's Happy Meal. Yeah, I think that pretty much sums up what the night was. I mean, GSP is saying, and we'll get to GSP in a second, that Rory's ready for a title shot. But man, Joe, looking at that thing, that did not look like. I mean, Hendricks and Lawler. We're on a different level.
He's taken a lot of flack. You guys got to give him credit, though. He weathered the storm with one of the best
grapplers
in the world for
dude,
5 minutes.
The guy
minutes.
Was full mounted, man.
Yeah.
I mean,
so you got to give him credit for that. And Damian Maia isn't a guy you can just – I mean, how many times has this guy been finished, you know?
How many times is that – I mean, I've only seen Maia gas out like 2 or 3 times. And like, man, like why against this dude? And look what he did with Fitch. Like – you know, are you going to tell me that Fitch's wrestling is less than Rory McDonald's? Of course not.
Right.
No. You know what I mean? Like,
it was a very ponderous performance from Maia, and I think some of the critique, Joe, comes from the fact that Rory weathered the storm, right, and then comes back and looks like he's a brand new fighter. And so when you look like a brand new fighter and the guy you're fighting looks like he's about to throw up.
Yeah.
I think there's some expectation that you'll be able to finish the dude that looks like he's going to blow chunks all over the octagon.
Sure. Yeah, I buy that.
And I don't disagree. Maya's a tough dude to finish, but I think the casual observer watching you beat up a dude for 10 straight minutes and not finish the fight when they've seen you toss Nate Diaz over his head and, you know, you've been kind of a vicious fighter, it just seemed kind of shades of George St. Pierre.
His training partner.
Yeah. So on that note,
this week in George St. Pierre.
I'm not impressed by your performance.
I'm afraid of you, man. Are you crazy in the head now?
Let me tell you something, uneducated fool.
This week in George St. Pierre.
That's money right there.
It's funny because every week I think I can delete this. he just won't stop talking. So he's finally come out and done his first interview, and he says the reason he is railing against the sport and the testing and all of that is one part of the issue. The other part of the issue is that he simply cannot exist in a world where towels aren't folded properly. George St. Pierre suffers from obsessive compulsive disorder to the level that it has forced him to leave the sport that he loves because he simply cannot operate on a healthy, balanced level like any other human being would. He becomes obsessed with the opponent, obsessed with the training schedule, obsessed with the diet, obsessed with the workouts, obsessed with the dryer, obsessed clearly with the towels in the bathroom. All of that stuff he becomes obsessed with, and it was ruining his life. So his friend said, hey, you should dial it back a bit.
Towels, dude.
Work-life balance is hard for all of us, right? I was not towels, but you know, right. I'm slightly obsessive about my job too. You know, at night I log back in and work, and in the morning getting ready, I'm thinking about work constantly. So that's something we all struggle with, right?
Certainly.
So he may have a mental thing going on, and I think we gotta give him a lot of slack for that too. It's not like breaking a leg, and I think it's just as real as breaking a leg or getting cancer or anything else.
Okay, let me cautiously argue with you and say not that I don't think that this is a thing. I know it's a clinical thing. I know it's a thing that people suffer from. Is this what you expected? Is this why you thought he would walk away from the sport?
I thought it was depression or anxiety because from the beginning he said, you know, it was his mind. He was going crazy. And I know how real those things are, too. So I didn't say it on air publicly because, you know, you don't want to call a guy's medical history
sure.
out. But I'm not going to lie. I did think it was a mental health issue. And I completely support him for stepping away and taking as long as it'll take or never coming back to whatever it takes to be healthy makes me happy.
Look, I don't disagree with that. I just think it comes as a shock that when you read OCD, that's what it is. It seems like such an odd thing to take down a champion.
What does that mean? Like overly concerned decisions?
No, obsessive compulsive disorder.
I'm just making a joke.
So, sure, funny, right? I think he should be supported. And I think if that's the issue, if that you can't literally do it for fun. And
sure.
Faraz has said this week, you know, since he's come out, that that's what he's doing now. He's doing martial arts. He's training,
yeah.
but he's
yeah.
just having fun. He's messing around in the gym. And
good.
If you can't,
he's still cornering guys, too.
Yeah, and if you can't turn that corner, yeah, I think you should walk away. There's nothing left for him to do. I mean, I don't care that, and we'll get to this in a second, I don't really care that Anderson Silva is hitting pads already, although I think it's clinically insane. You know, you want to talk about somebody who might have a mental
right.
condition? It's the dude on a broken leg who wants to hit pads 3 weeks after he gets out of crutches. I don't know that I at this point, it's worth it to George or necessary to the fans for that to be a thing.
I still think George would come back for a super fight, don't you guys?
I think he will, but I don't think he has to. That's what
no.
I'm saying.
Oh,
like,
no.
If
no.
this is your thing,
he's got
you,
nothing to prove.
You know, you can't right. you can't train without physically harming yourself in a way that you just everything else suffers for
right.
the sake of this fight.
Right.
You don't need to fight Anderson Silva. Right? I mean, what do you think? You're
no.
kind of
no. I wouldn't come back. Not at all. I mean, dude, you retired and you retired as a champ. You're undefeated for a very long time, and just walk away, dude. Come back, cornering guys is just as fun, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You've had your hand raised so many times in that cage. Mm-hmm. You know what it feels like. You don't need to.
Well, and there's so much the UFC can do with him once they get past this fight about drugs,
yeah,
which
absolutely.
Will happen. You know, this is a guy you can have him make him a permanent coach on Tough.
That'd be cool.
You know, he doesn't have to fight, but he can
hire a guy who's there just specifically to fold towels the right way.
Yeah, just so he doesn't get all bent
so
out of shape.
He doesn't go beating up that guy, right. throw him in a cage.
I hear you though, Eric. He could do on air stuff, right? He could be an executive like Matt Hughes.
That he
still
could
be involved.
He could run their Canada
yeah.
branch. If that's what, I mean,
right.
there's a
yeah,
million
yeah.
things he could
yeah.
do without ever having to step back in the octagon and still be a part of the
yeah.
game if that's necessary for him.
He's got to stop bashing the USC first.
He does have to do that, and I really, to be honest with you, after seeing this video, I feel almost sad for him. I wish you would just go relax then.
Right.
Stay out of the public
yeah.
eye. Don't do interviews. Go play video games.
Yeah.
Go read a book. If you want to do karate, don't Go do karate. If you want to read Bruce Lee books, go do that. Relax.
Well, maybe, maybe you know that time when he talked about where he would be like in his car or something, and then he would lose some time. And then when he look at his clock, it's like the same time. And like nothing really.
When he was talking to Joe Rogan about
time. Maybe he's in that trance right now, and he doesn't know he's doing it. So when he comes back to the reality of time, he'll be like, wait, all that really did happen? Like, well, hey, I'm giving the guy the benefit of the doubt, man. He was explaining it, and I kind of I understood it a little bit. I'm like, okay, that's concept of time can be kind of confusing. And
well, I mean, you know, if you want to get really
if you're OCD, it's really
confusing. You get hit in the head that many times.
Well, and if you want to get really philosophical and abstract, time is just a thing that we made up anyway. So, I mean, losing time is kind of relative to begin with. That's a little lofty for this show, but
so the second half of what he said was he wouldn't come back until the performance enhancing drugs issue was addressed in some form.
And look, we are a giant step closer to that statement at the end of the week than we were when George made that statement. And by that I mean Dana has said TRT and TUE is an issue and I want to get rid of it. And so the Association of Ringside Physicians were talking about this and how it needs to go away. And it's a problem because, you know, Sean, when you and I talked about Bigfoot and how that whole thing just came unraveled with one more injection.
Right.
Just one more injection. The UFC had watched that guy for the entire time. And he takes one more thing and he's, you know, he's out of the limits. So this week, ESPN had released a story and a study to show that TRT and TUE is used so much more in MMA that it's an alarming trend, that they're getting so many more exemptions than any other sport that it needs to be addressed. Dana has said how excited he is for this because a story like this and a study like this will push this out of the sport.
Right, banned it. Yeah.
And if you can push this out of the sport, the first thing that's going to happen, I'm not Pollyanna. The first thing that's going to happen is the performance enhancing drugs, people getting popped, is going to skyrocket, right?
Of course it will.
You know, because they're all going to, I got to do something, you know. And then eventually it'll figure itself out. But this is the first big step, I think, to help George feel better about coming back. Because once you get rid of all of these guys that need exemptions, and Travis Brown has come out this week, and Weidman has come out this week, and both of these guys are like, look, I'm right at the threshold, but I'm not going to take it. It's totally cheating.
Yeah.
And when you look at mediocre Belfort prior to doing this and the Belfort that we have now,
we can just say poster boy Belfort now because look at his haircut.
You know, he's got a great he's got a great Jesus haircut and he's ready to do battle against Weidman, but he's a much different fighter. He had that skid in the middle where you were like, maybe it's over for you, and then look, he gets steal a quote from Honey Boo Boo, he gets his go-go juice and he's ready to go and now he's got a title shot. And that's fun for Vitor Belfort. That's fun for fans of Vitor Belfort because here's a guy who might have been on his way out and now all of a sudden is fighting Weidman for the title. Fun, but it's not a realistic look at how a human being's body reacts. And if you're somebody who wants to be a purist or somebody who wants this sport to be taken into the mainstream, dudes whose bodies tell them it's time to stop fighting need to stop fighting.
That's a very, very hard thing to listen to and actually obey. It is so hard to walk away.
And I don't disagree with that, but it needs to happen for the sake of the sport.
Well, look, the safety,
If you're going to inject stuff and get popped and you know, in the Overeem or Barnett or Hoist Gracie or all of the other guys that have been popped for trying to get a leg up, I think that's a different discussion.
Yeah, that's a totally different.
Like there's... save for what happened to him, after this fight. But when Hughes was fighting against, they both had ankle injuries. Both
Carlos?
No, long time ago. Brazilian, now in prison for rape. Help me out here.
You're not talking about Hermes Franca.
Yeah, Hermes. Oh. So when he's fighting Hermes, Hermes gets popped because he had an ankle injury and took it to help heal the ankle injury.
Right.
You know, so you're going to have these instances where guys do this to fix themselves, right? They're going to get popped. That's a different issue to me than cycling on and off continually as you're getting these exemptions and your body's building up testosterone levels that it's not actually supposed to have given your age or your damage to your brain or whatever. This is, I think, a great story for the sport because I think it needs to happen. And it's a much better story to tell, Joe, when you can say, I'm Anderson Silva. I was the best fighter in the world, and I've never been popped for any of this stuff, and I did it on my own terms. I, George St. Pierre, did it on my own terms, so forth and so on. Then going, well, I mean, I was popped two or three times, but when I was champ, I wasn't taking anything.
Right.
And then I was popped for two or three more times. Then when I got the belt back, I wasn't taking anything. That's a different story.
So Chris Weidman is worried about Vitor getting
popped.
As he
should be.
Yeah, and so, you know, in that division, if guys are going to be smart about this, start your camp now for Chris Weidman. If Vitor gets popped, you can move right in. And I liked Travis Brown's analogy, too. He said, you know, John Jones has got whatever it is, a 75-inch reach.
200-inch
reach.
Yeah,
I've got a 65-inch reach. I don't take anything to have an extra 10-inch reach, just like I don't take testosterone because I have lower testosterone than these other guys.
Right, yeah. Well, I mean, the thing about TRT and all that, I mean, it just like those guys when they're training, you know, they want to – you want to train harder than you do for your fight, obviously. So whatever it is that they're doing through camp, vitamins, TRT, you name it, blah, 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 they just want to carry that over. That's probably why Bigfoot took that last injection because he was just on a regular schedule. And, you know, I think banning the whole thing is the best answer. Yeah, you're going to get a lot more guys popped, but then lift up the fines heavier, you know. Not only is the State Athletic Commission going to do this, but as the UFC and, you know, president and owners, we're also going to do this to you. And just make it seem like, dude, it's not worth it. It's just not
don't,
worth
don't,
it.
I mean, you have a fighter in the UFC. You know how the system works. Don't you think it's vital to this sport to do this at this point?
Yeah.
You know, so that going forward you don't have what baseball has right now. They have an entire decade of guys who should be in the Hall of Fame that are either going to get in with an asterisk or they're not going to get in at all. An entire decade.
That's sad.
And it's not only just banning it, they need to reform their drug testing policy.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Because what's come out a lot, too, is that guys can take it during camp, cycle off, and then test clean close to the fight.
Sure.
So it's more of a reform, too. And I like what you were saying, Eric, too, about the Ringside Doctors Commission coming out with the recommendations. What I think will happen is you'll get some athletic commissions adopting that, and then through attrition, other ones will follow suit. And then when you hit the Nevada state,
you only need Nevada to do it.
Yeah, and then everybody will. Yeah, that takes precedence for other commissions for sure.
But you know, this is a big thing, and I think a step closer to if this Anderson fight is going to happen with GSP, this is probably the big step that needs to just push this right over the edge.
If this thing does ever happen, I think Vitor should change his walkout song to TRT, you know, instead of TNT from AC/DC.
Yeah,
that would be really cool if he did that.
That would not be very cool.
Why wouldn't it be? Because he's up front about it, and you come out to like TRT. I think that'd be funny, man. That's just my taste on you know, humor. So I think. Wouldn't that be cool? Like, if everyone's like, wait a second, that's not TNT. They're saying TRT. How did he pull that off? It doesn't matter. That's Vitor.
He's working on that all week, Sean.
He got the song cleared.
No, we just started talking about it.
He got the walkout song exemption as well to go with his actual TRT.
Yeah,
right?
Why not?
I'm helping you with the joke. All right, when we get back, we'll finish up the rest. We'll finish up the rest of news and cover everything else. It's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show. Return to the Mac. Get
on what it is, what it does. Way of the Warrior. Instead of getting on the internet and checking a new hit he get. Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric O'Brien, the guys have left for the day, which is why I'm doing the last segment by myself, because number one, it's been perhaps the craziest 24 hours in MMA in quite some time. We were talking in segment two about TRT and how ESPN put out the story that TRT and TUE, testosterone enhancement exemptions, therapeutic exemptions, you know what I'm talking about, have been higher than any other sport. And then it was Dana White and an athletic commission that started to mess around with the idea of, like, we should just get rid of this stuff because it's bad. Well, as soon as we get done talking about that, that's exactly what happened. The Nevada Athletic Commission, the gold standard in mixed martial arts, said, you know what? Effective immediately, we will no longer give any sort of TRT or TUE exemptions to any UFC fighters or MMA fighters at all. And that was a bombshell. Number one, because the news had literally just broke on Wednesday. I think it was Brent Brookhouse or Luke Thomas, one of those guys, astutely pointed out that perhaps it was the ESPN story that kind of jump-started this entire thing and got it going. Well, that wasn't crazy enough, right? Because TUE, T, TRT out of the UFC one day after it kind of becomes a big story. Interesting, right? Well, it gets more interesting because late last night, the UFC sends out a press conference. I'm so excited, I can't even keep my head straight. Sends out a press conference, and what it says is that this should come as no shock to anybody. So if you haven't heard this yet, please sit down. Vitor Belfort is out of UFC 173. Why? Because he takes TRT. And he has been replaced with Lyoto Machida. In the press conference, or the press release, I should say. In the press release, Vitor says, given the time constraints involved between now and May, I have determined not to apply for a license to fight at Nevada at this time. Okay, well, that makes sense. You're on TRT. That's quite a quick turnaround to get off of it and test correctly, and you don't want to put in jeopardy a title shot. You don't want to put Weidman at risk, any of that stuff. Oh, that makes total sense. Let's do that. Well, then this morning, Vitor goes, whoa. He jumps on Twitter and says, hey, in 10 minutes, I will explain my side of the story. And on Facebook, Vitor says this: I never gave up fighting at UFC 173, never said that. Therefore, any information published in any medium of communication announcing that is simply not true. What was announced is that I'll be giving up TRT, not giving up the fight, and to continue my dream of fighting. The UFC decided to put another opponent in my place, and I do not have the required time to adapt myself to the new rules of the NSAC, the Nevada Athletic Commission. According to the UFC, I will face the winner of Weidman and Lyoto within the new regulations of the Athletic Commission. What's interesting, he spells Lyoto's name wrong in his Facebook post. I regret that this happened, and thank that I have the strength and understanding of all the fans, sponsors, and the UFC's own athletic commission to continue my dream of fighting. So Vitor says that what's in that press release is simply not true. So let me get this straight. At this point during the day, we have had Ariel Helwani weigh in and everybody else weighing in trying to figure this thing out. Ariel Helwani cannot get a hold of Vitor's lawyer. Later on this afternoon, he did, but has to submit everything via email and then wait for an answer. They won't get on the phone. They won't do any of that stuff. Brent Brookhouse pointed out that normally what would happen is the lawyers would release a statement. That statement would go to the UFC. The UFC would, of course, give it to Fox Sports 1. It ends up on the broadcast at 11 o'clock last night, and there you go. And that's essentially what happened. Now, is there some sort of discrepancy between what happened between Vitor and Vitor's lawyer? Well, we'll have to wait and see. But what I can say is, look, Vitor has been on TRT. That is a true statement. He would admit to it. Everybody would admit to it. It is going to take some time for him to get off of that. The UFC has a lot of money invested in each one of these pay-per-views. We saw with UFC 151 what that can do if you don't actually put an event on. It puts a lot of stuff in jeopardy. So instead of doing that, they take the easy way out. The correct way, in my mind, they get rid of Vitor Belfort for now. Let him go through this process and abide by the Nevada Athletic Commission rules as he should have to, and put in place somebody else who is an equal opponent in my mind, in Lyoto Machida. He has looked amazing at 185 in a fight I think everybody would like to see. So, yes, Vitor loses in this situation. Yes, you've got to ask some questions as to whether or not something weird happened which would cause his statement to be read out of context, added words to said context, or anything of the sort. But I don't know that you can fault the UFC. If it was indeed the UFC's call, I don't know that you can fault them for saying, look, we're going to err on the side of being able to have a pay-per-view and a main event. We're going to put Lyoto, who's not on TRT, in against Weidman, who's also not on TRT. What else happened is that soon after, meaning yesterday, the Nevada Athletics Commission decided that they were going to ban the therapeutic use of testosterone, TRT. Now, the Brazilian version, the CABMMA, has followed in that decision, saying that they are no longer going to grant exceptions for TRT in Brazil. How this gets interesting is that Dan Henderson, who takes on Shogun in the main event, will be granted a license for TRT for the 5-round fight, but that will be the very last one in Brazil ever, which means this, that Vanderlei, scheduled to fight Chael on May 31st in Brazil, Chael will not receive a TRT exemption. So, just so you have it right, nobody in Nevada will get a TRT exemption. And as Brent Brookhouse and Ariel Helwani and Luke Thomas, all of those guys have pointed out on Twitter, if you've been following along, all of the other commissions will follow suit. That will happen. If Nevada says it, it's going to happen. Just like weight classes, just like all of that stuff, it's going to happen. But the first one in line, interestingly enough, was Brazil. So what that means is Dan Henderson will be the last person ever granted TRT in a five-round fight in Brazil. That will happen March 23rd. May 31st, as Vanderlei takes on Chael Sonnen, that will not have a TRT exemption. So neither Vanderlei or Chael will be granted a TRT exemption for their fight in Brazil. And speaking of those two, there is a video rolling around the internet all day today showing the quote-unquote fight, I use that term loosely, between Vanderlei and Chael Sonnen on the set of The Ultimate Fighter Brazil. Take this with a grain of salt. We have many friends in the reality TV universe. We know how this sort of thing is kind of played out to, get the most buzz, and it's certainly getting a ton of buzz. There's a lot of shoving, and the teaser trailer to get you to sign up for Fight Pass and sign up for watch this fight shows Chael at the last second essentially taking down Vanderlei, and that's where the clip ends. So if you are a fan of Chael, as you should be, and excited to watch this series, I certainly don't think that there's a better way that you can get people excited than certainly putting this sort of tease on the web. And you can see it on our Facebook page at Wow Show on Facebook or on Twitter by searching Twitter as well. And speaking of fights, there is a fight this weekend. You've got the finale to The Ultimate Fighter China. The main event of that fight is John Hathaway versus Dong Young Kim. And we will be covering all of that. You can see it on Fight Pass. Matt Mitrione taking on Sean Jordan. Ivan Menjivar and Hayoki is the kickoff to the main bouts, and you can see all of that on Fight Pass. You can see the prelims on Fight Pass. Lots of stuff going on. Von Lee is fighting Nam Phan. Some good fights this weekend if you have Fight Pass, and you can still get signed up for that, obviously, at UFC.com and follow along with our results as we will have all of them. Joby Wan Kenobi will be tweeting and updating Facebook with all of the results from this weekend from the tough finale. When we come back next week, who knows what we're even going to be talking about, but I imagine it will be crazy. We, of course, will not be granted a TRT exemption for next week's show, as the Nevada has said that will also hold weight in Michigan, but we'll be back next week. Follow us along on Twitter and Facebook, or jump on iTunes and Stitcher and download the show. It's Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.
Way of the Warrior.